Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC, good morning, everyone, and to all the veterans listening today, thank you for your service to our country and happy Veterans Day. We've got a question on our webpage that we'll talk about on air in about 15 minutes. Should taxpayers bail out the auto industry? Tell us what you think at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Leo from Queens just wrote this. Taxpayers should bail out the workers, basically help in protecting the fund for retirement plans and medical benefits. And we wonder what you think. We'll talk about Obama's desire, which Bush apparently does not share, to bail out the auto industry coming up in about 15 minutes. But on this Veterans Day, you may remember that Congress passed a new GI Bill in May. It's called the Post-9/11 Veterans Education Assistance Act, and it's designed to provide funding more in line with what going to college actually costs today. If you are a vet and you want to know how to take full advantage of the bill, we have a guest now who knows it inside and out. You can call us. Patrick Campbell is the Chief Legislative Counsel for Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, a group that played a large part in getting the legislation passed. Patrick, welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show. Happy Veterans Day.
Happy Veterans Day to you, too. It's a pleasure to be here.
And vets and your families, call in with your specific questions about the new GI Bill if you have any. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post your questions to our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show for that. So, Patrick, unlike the old GI Bill, which also provided funds for housing and special loans and stuff once upon a time, this one is exclusively focused on higher education, correct?
Right. Basically, this allows a veteran to go to any public school or private school equivalent in the country and has their full cost of education paid for. Tuition is paid for, living allowance is paid for, even books and supplies.
So books, and there are actually three areas, as I understand it. Tuition is one category, books and supplies is another, and living costs, including housing, if you're a veteran who's actually in school.
Right.
So let's start with tuition. How much do you actually qualify for?
Well, you get up to the most expensive, you get a tuition payment directly to the school, up to whatever the most expensive public undergraduate in-state tuition at your state is. And I know that sounds like a lot of words. If you go to our website, gibill2008.org, there's a little calculator and it'll come up with whatever the most expensive state school is. But, I think one of the SUNYs, I think in New York it's about $8,000, $9,000. So you can take that $8,000, $9,000 to any public private school in the country and they will pay that directly to the school.
Mm-hmm. And so you could obviously go for free, therefore, if you're going to a SUNY school, or
right,
use that much and apply it toward the cost of a private or more expensive public education.
Exactly.
Now, the benefits cover both 2- and 4-year institutions, correct?
Right. I mean, you have basically 4 academic years benefits that you can use anywhere you want. If you 2-year university, 4-year universities, you can go to graduate school. You just have 4 years to do whatever you see best with that time.
And one of the big changes with this new GI Bill is that it extends these benefits to those in the National Guard and reserves, who are about half of those who have been serving in Iraq and Afghanistan. So that's a big change, isn't it?
I actually served with some members of the 1st of the 69th out of New York. And what the issue was before was veterans who were the Guard and Reservists who were deployed one time only got credit for their single longest tour. If they were getting deployed multiple times, which most people are at this point, they weren't accumulating benefits. So there was no incentive or reward for doing more service. And that remedied this. So now if you do the same amount of active duty time as an active duty soldier, you get the same benefits, which you weren't able to do earlier.
That's a big, big change. And what a plus for people serving in the Guard and the Reserves who, for one thing, probably never expected to get into anything as heavy as the Iraq or Afghanistan war, but also do this time, even when they're stateside. Here is a National Guard question from Siobhan in New Brunswick. Siobhan, you're on WNYC. Thanks a lot for calling.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
My question is basically for those guardsmen who Haven't been deployed recently and in the recent months. And in my situation, I was told by the VA that my 36 months of eligibility had expired. But there are those of us who are, you know, stationed at home, and we support the home front, basically, and do active duty time at home, which usually do not exceed 90 days. And, you know, we re-up every year. We re-enlist every year. I wanted to know, how does this new bill benefit, you know, students like myself that are still serving in the military, still re-enlisting when they ask us to re-enlist, and basically we're being told by the VA we have nothing coming to us. I mean, I think the National Guard has paid for my education for 2 summers, and that's the only time I'm eligible to get my tuition reimbursement.
All right. Patrick, is Siobhan eligible for anything more than that?
Well, anyone who has not actually done an active duty stint over 90 days is only entitled to something called Chapter 1606, which is $300 a month, which is considerably less than the new benefit. They are also, if they're still serving, entitled to federal tuition assistance. Unfortunately, in the negotiations with the new GI Bill, we had to focus solely on, you know, creating a readjustment benefit, a benefit for people who have served, you know, active duty of a certain period of time. We are working, you know, hard next year to get that rate increase. But as of right now, a Guard and Reservist who has not deployed in any type of, you don't have to be sent to Iraq and Afghanistan, just activated for more than 90 days, this new benefit's not going to help them.
Anthony in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. The question is a simple one. It's my understanding that an active duty member of the service is allowed to use the benefits under the new bill for his own children if they're going to college. Is my understanding correct?
The new benefit does allow what we call transferability. For someone who is currently serving in the active duty or Guard and Reserve, will have the option when they reenlist to, you know, transfer their education benefits to a spouse or to a dependent. Now, the Department of Defense basically wrote that section of the new GI Bill. They were given broad authority to, you know, draft however they want that policy be implemented. And we're currently still waiting for the Department of Defense to come out with their guidelines. I talked with a Defense Department official last week who hinted at what they were doing, and they basically said, when you would reenlist, once you've done 6 years and you reenlist for 4 more, then you have the authority to give any remaining education benefits you have to, you know, one of your kid or to your spouse, which is a great opportunity for people who are going to stay in the military.
Well, someone who's already in for like 13 years, I guess, do they have to wait to reenlist too, or?
Well, we're waiting to see that. That was what they were hinting at. I hope that's not the case, and we're going to work strongly to say that anyone who has done their time and is still in should qualify. The law doesn't require you to reenlist, but this whole purpose of this transferability was, you know, in response to this worry that if we give veterans too generous of a benefit, and I repeat, too generous of a benefit, that people will actually go out and use it and leave the military. So they're using this as a retention tool. I think this can be used is a great way to reward service.
Anthony, thanks to you and your son for your service. Thanks for calling. Good luck with this. Patrick Campbell is my guest for a few more minutes, Chief Legislative Counsel for the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, 212-433-WNYC, as we talk about the new GI Bill. And you're hearing from his answers some of the vagaries, some of the things yet to be determined in terms of how this is actually applied, but also the big new aspects of this, that it is a transferable benefit to spouses and children in many cases, that the National Guard and reserves, people who have been deployed for 90 days or more of active duty are eligible for this GI Bill education benefit, and also that the tuition is all the way up to the cost of the most expensive public institution in your state. And that is all big, big stuff, and all just passed this year. Let me get your reaction, Patrick, to something that a listener posted on our website. This is Alex from Queens, and he says, as an Operation Iraqi Freedom veteran and a recent law school graduate, I would give some advice to veterans regarding education. the serviceman or woman needs to be proactive and take charge of their own education before they ever leave the service. Ask superiors and those in your unit about what to do before leaving the service. Do you think that's important?
I think it's extremely important. Once you leave the service, one of the things you lose out is access to federal tuition assistance, which is about $4,000 a year. That's tuition on top of your education benefits that are paid directly to the schools. Also, for a lot of people who are leaving the military, it's a big transition to go from, being, in a very structured environment to being in a school. I mean, I went from being in Baghdad with body armor to sitting in a classroom with air conditioning of almost 2 weeks later. That was a big transition for me, just emotionally, let alone, on a day-to-day schedule. So,
can you talk about that for a minute? Why? I mean, you would think that, I'm not saying everybody thinks this, but a lot of people might think that when you go from that daily body armor situation to sitting in an air-conditioned classroom, that the emotional adjustment is going to be like,
Well, I mean, that was exactly what I was doing. I mean, I was sitting in the back of the classroom just feeling so incredibly happy to be wearing jeans for the first time in about a year. But at the same time, there were things that I needed to discuss or things I wanted to talk about that I was afraid that if I brought them up, I'd be judged.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things we've learned in this organization with IAVA is that, it's hard to talk about these issues to non-veterans. So even today, we have our website for GI Bill questions, which is gibill2008.org. But today we're actually launching something called the communityofveterans.org, which is a Facebook for veterans. And it's a joint venture with Ad Council to bring veterans together and bring all the resources that we know about into one place and give people an opportunity to chat. Because until you've sat in a classroom and you've heard a professor go off about that, what they feel, Iraq, what should be happening in Iraq, and you're sitting back going, I was just there. It's learning how to deal with those emotions as they come up and finding constructive means.
That is really cool that you've set up both of those sites. And I'm going to ask you before we wrap up here to give those addresses, web addresses again. But in the meantime, people can get ready to write them down because they both sound really, really useful. Mike in Astoria, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Do these benefits apply to Vietnam-era veterans?
The basic requirement is post 9/11 service, active duty service. Now, there was a cadre of about 5,000 to 10,000 Vietnam veterans who were still serving in the military who did not qualify for the old Montgomery GI Bill. Anyone who has post 9/11 service, whether or not they signed up or qualified for the old GI Bill, qualify for this. But unless you have post 9/11 active duty service, you don't qualify for this new benefit.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mike. I understand that this new GI Bill is not fully in effect until August. So I don't know if was that August of this year or is that August of next year? And what about those who are wanting to start school this fall if it's not too late or in the January term?
Well, one of the things, we realized that this was a new benefit, something that was going to take the VA a long time to implement, and thank God we did because the VA is struggling under the weight of this new benefit, but they will get it done on time. So August 1st, 2009, basically the fall of next year, this new benefit will take effect. However, in the interim, we have increased the benefits for the old GI Bill for active duty and Guard and Reservists who have deployed by 20%. So they saw a rather large increase in benefits this year already. They just pale in comparison to the even larger increase in benefits that take place next year.
Three quick questions before you go. You don't have time to take the callers, but I'm going to run through these questions with you. One person wants to know, can this money be applied toward master's degree programs if the vet already has a bachelor's?
I got a JD with it. So
You went to law school with it.
Yeah, I just graduated. Just graduated law school in December.
Good for you. You're going to need a different kind of body armor now. And somebody on the website asks, how does this work for military staff that came out as homosexual by choice or not before or after their enlistment? I guess they mean people who were expelled under Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Right. You need to have an honorable discharge from the military to qualify. There are programs for people who did not get honorable discharges. Most people can apply to have them appealed. The best people to talk to is the American Legion has a whole division part, or a group called Swords to Plowshares.
And last one, a listener, Gary in North Brunswick, on our website asks, I served 5 years active duty ending in 1998 and used my old GI Bill. I went back into the Navy after 9/11 for an additional 5 years, ending in December 07. Am I eligible for the new GI Bill, even though I used benefits under the old one?
Pretty much the way it works is there are two different types of benefits. There's Chapter 30, which is the Montgomery GI Bill. That is one for one. So if you've used your 4 academic years of the old Montgomery GI Bill, you've used your 4 years of benefits under the new GI Bill. However, if you were something called REAP, which is a reservist who got deployed for, you know, a period of time, you get an additional 12 months of education benefits. So if you have any remaining education entitlement, you will be able to use it under the new benefit.
All right. So, very good stuff from Patrick Campbell, Chief Legislative Counsel, now that he's gone to law school, for Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. Give us those two web addresses, one for GI Bill information.
GIBill2008.org.
That's simple. And the other one, kind of a Facebook for vets.
Communityofveterans.org.
Patrick, it's been great. Thank you for your service. Thank you for coming on with us on Veterans Day.
And happy Veterans Day to you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, coming up in a minute. Should taxpayers bail out the auto industry? It looks like President 43 was opposed. President 44 was in favor, and they talked about it at the White House yesterday. We'll talk to the Wall Street Journal White House correspondent and take your comments.